KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Partly cloudy to cloudy skies here in Atlantic at 8:03. We're at 13 degrees. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Wellcove Home Health of Red Oak. Experience the spirit of Wellcove. In Southwest Iowa news, no injuries were reported following a rollover accident Tuesday morning about 2 miles south of Stanton. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office said yesterday a pickup driven by 18-year-old Jacob Baker of Newmarket was traveling north on O Avenue at around 8:10 a.m. when the vehicle began to slide on the icy roadway. The 1999 Chevy Silverado pickup entered the west ditch and rolled onto its top, sustaining $6,500 in damage. No citations were issued. No injuries were reported following a collision Monday afternoon in Creston. The Union County Sheriff's Office said Tuesday vehicles driven by 22-year-old Garrett Snyder and 56-year-old Patricia Kralik, both of Creston, collided at around 4:45 p.m. when Kralik failed to yield at the intersection of Maple and Summit Streets. Damage from the collision amounted to $6,000. Kralik was cited for failure to obey a traffic control device. Lieutenant Governor Kim Reynolds met with the media earlier this week. With the governor out of the country for a post-election vacation, Reynolds and the governor won re-election and saw a Republican surge in almost every state, but the state Senate, where the Democrats held on to a slim majority. Reynolds said the path to gaining Republican control of the Senate was too narrow.
I think probably we needed to have more seats in play, but we'll continue to do what we did over the last 4 years, and that's work with both a Republican-controlled House and a Democratic-controlled Senate. We are going to put Iowans first and Iowa first. We're going to look for legislation where we can build consensus.
Reynolds was asked if raising the gas tax to help fund road repairs will be one of the issues they push. She says Governor Branstad has been pretty clear that the gas tax isn't the only solution.
We know that that's extremely important for Iowa's economy, that we have the money to sustain Iowa's roads and bridges. It can't be just raising the gas tax. I don't think that's a sustainable measure. We know that that's a declining revenue source.
She says they need to look at several options and combine them in a bipartisan package that will increase revenue for road repairs in the long term. Reynolds says with the election of Joni Ernst to the U.S. Senate and the body now in Republican control, there could be some federal options that also help the state.
Congress passed several measures for long-term road funding at the federal level that didn't even get debated in the Senate. So hopefully they can look at a long-term solution at the federal level. We can work with both parties at the state level and look for a hybrid, several options that we can put together that does what we need it to do, and that's to improve the infrastructure in the state of Iowa.
The governor will be on vacation through November 18th. Agencies that distribute food to the hungry are gearing up for what they anticipate will be a very busy winter ahead. Brian Barks, spokesman for the Omaha-based Food Bank for the Heartland, says this is the time of year when food drives pick up, but it's also the season when food is needed the most, as more people in the region are requesting help.
This time last year, we were on pace to distribute almost 15 million pounds of food. This year, we are on pace to distribute in excess of 16 million pounds of food.
While donations have been thankfully more plentiful, Barks said the demand for food is even greater.
In Nebraska and western Iowa, approximately 217,000 people are at risk for hunger. 88,000 are children under the age of 18.
The food bank supplies food items to 285 pantries, homeless shelters, and soup kitchens in 93 counties across western Iowa and Nebraska. A donation of just $5, Barks says, can provide 15 meals. After some improvements in the 1990s, the poverty rate for kids in Iowa has been on the rise over the last decade or so. And a new report from the Annie E. Casey Foundation says a two-generation approach is the best strategy for strengthening those families. Michael Crawford with Iowa Kids Count says the method includes a focus on high-quality early education for children, while also providing parents with access to job training, career paths, and other tools.
The two-generation approach really aims to create opportunities for families by equipping the parents and the kids with the tools they need to thrive. And that's the whole idea, is you really can't look at just the children. You've got to look at the parents and the kids both.
The report on the two-generation approach outlines how the public, nonprofit, and private sectors could better coordinate their efforts to reduce poverty among the 10 million low-income families in the U.S. with young children. Some specific actions that would help increase the economic opportunity for these families, explains Crawford, includes an expansion of the earned income tax credit, along with
increasing and making refundable the child tax credit for low-income families. That's a way to put some money in the pockets for low-income families so they can afford daycare and helps them with their monthly budgetary needs.
In Iowa, he said there are more than 250,000 children living in low-income families. Elsewhere in the news, firefighters from Harlan, Shelby, and Portsmouth battled the frigid weather to fight a field fire Monday night in Shelby County. A blaze, which was caused by embers from a fire over the weekend, was reported around 9:15 p.m. Monday at 717 Road M16. Quick action by the firefighters, along with assistance from the landowner who used a disc implement to create a fire line, helped to contain the blaze. According to Fire Chief Roger Beeson, the high winds could have spread the fire very quickly, but with the response of the three departments and the farmer with the disc, the fire was put out before it got out of control. The snow cover has since improved field conditions around the area. And one person has been injured in a fire that damaged a commercial building just north of Des Moines. Fire crews from several area departments were dispatched after 6 p.m. Tuesday. The building had housed the I-80 flea market, which closed in August. The injured person was taken to a Des Moines hospital for treatment. The news was brought to you by Wellcove Home Health of Red Oak at 1600 Summit in Red Oak. Give them a call at 712-623-2500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.